The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Discover a team that's always here to support you at All Care, taking care of communities across Ireland.
Emma Gleeson, welcome to the show.
Hi, Brendan. Thanks for having me.
And Emma, you describe yourself as one of those weirdos who gets a kick out of decluttering. And you actually you have become a semi-professional declutterer for people, haven't you?
I have. I've even gone so far as to write a book about it. Yes. I am someone who used to, I'm what I describe myself as a reformed hoarder. I used to be someone who owned a lot of stuff. And then I did a master's years ago in the psychology of shopping. And I started my business sort of off the back of that. My book is non-preachy. It is about decluttering, but it's mainly about our relationship with our stuff. And I'm addressing the elephant in the room when we talk about clutter, which is shopping and how the stuff gets into the house in the first place. If you don't think about that, it's like going on a crash diet. You're just caught in this loop of doing a clear out, shopping again, doing a clear out. So that's what the book is about.
Okay, and the book is called Stuff Happens. So there is a philosophical kind of underpinning to this before we go into any decluttering. You're making the, as many times as we've been told this and we should know it, we never get it, do we? You say that stuff and acquiring stuff and buying stuff does not actually make us happy.
No, and I think we're so used to hearing that and we think, that's not true at all. I want to win the lotto or whatever.
Yeah.
But I really go deep into that. I go into the psychology of happiness itself and the psychology of our relationships with the objects in our lives. I look at the history of advertising and why we've been taught to think that accumulating all this stuff will make us happy, which is so, so interesting. You know, 100 years ago, you bought something because of its usefulness, you know. But now we have these ads for, you know, the perfume ads with like a woman riding a dolphin into the sunset. That is because they want to connect the perfume with an emotion in us. Mm-hmm. It's not about how the perfume smells. It's about what it might make us feel like or what kind of person we might be if we buy the perfume. So we've all these messages coming at us the whole time, not to mention the choice and the speed at which stuff can get to us. So I'm trying to delve into that as well as, you know, in a non-judgmental way, teaching people how to get a grip on their homes and their stuff. Yeah.
Okay. Now, so if we go to the other end of it, then the shopping end is the in. The decluttering is the out. You say that you need to actually prepare emotionally for decluttering, that it's quite an emotional journey.
It is. I think people are always shocked by how exhausted they are at the end of the day. I was only talking to a friend yesterday, one of your colleagues, Nortie, Connor Bean. He's just moved house and he's like, I'm just wrecked. There are so many reasons why this is. It's because we don't recognize the emotional connection with our objects. I think for someone listening to me who's a bit older, they might be like, Jesus, this millennial one talking about her emotions. But it actually really, really matters. So that is why it can be really tiring. But I will say you will feel so, so good once you have done it. So you do need to prepare for how tiring and potentially upsetting it will be. But always remember that you will feel physically lighter at the end of it. Yeah.
And do you know what? I was looking at your book the other day and you know what I started doing is taking little mini breaks and going off and doing a bit of what you might call kind of surgical decluttering. Like I would go off and maybe do, you know, a drawer, like, you know, one of those drawers where you have everything and go off and just sort it out. And actually it's quite absorbing and quite kind of, it's quite peaceful thing to do in a way, isn't it?
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, I talk about that in the book that like for years it was kind of a mental health crutch for me, you know, doing that stuff. I still do it now, but not in as much of a kind of coping way, but it can be very peaceful. I mean, I think maybe Brendan, you're more like me. Some people would think that is the worst thing you could possibly spend your time doing. But no, I love clearing out a drawer. God, it gives me such a good sense of achievement in such a small task.
And completion.
I recommend starting with that kind of small task, you know, one drawer, maybe your towels, you know, those kind of things. And you're spurred on then to do more.
Okay. And you say leave the sentimental items aside. So because like we all know, you get derailed by one thing as you're going through Big Bird. There's stuff all around you that you should be dealing with, and you just stop and go down a rabbit hole with one thing, don't you?
Reading your granny's letters or whatever. Yeah, yeah. You did. That's a whole separate task, really, the emotional stuff. So you need to leave that to the end always. You know, have a separate box or a bag or whatever for all that stuff. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, and put it aside and have
yeah,
that breakdown
as you say,
another
you'll
time.
Get derailed, or even, you know, something might come up for you that you're not even aware of, and you know, you need to kind of, if you're coming across things that might bring up grief or anything, you know, you need to have time to process that. So it's really important to separate, you know, tidying from that more sensitive stuff. Definitely, yeah.
And then you say we're looking for two categories of items, which is, you mentioned earlier, people used to only buy stuff because it's useful, and that's one category. But the other stuff is stuff you love. It's okay to have stuff you love.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people are often shocked when they hear I'm not a minimalist. You know, I'm not a Marie Kondo, you know, white walls and one single cactus. That's not my aesthetic. Like, I love things. My background is, I was a costume designer for years. So I love clothes. I love books. So I'm really coming from a place of what I call mindful materialism. You know, things are not bad in themselves. We just need to be more conscious of how they come into our lives and only have things that are really, really useful and that we actually love. You know, I think, you know, I have a big message of sustainability in the book, and I think often the sustainability rhetoric is a lot about deprivation and like, what will you give up? You know, what will you stop doing? And my message is like, this will make your life better. You will save money, which is, you really will. You will have less tidying up to do, and you will have things that you actually love, particularly with clothes. You know, you'll have things that make you feel good. There's nothing to lose in this.
Yeah, I suppose. And you do have to go at it, though, at some stage in this and be brutal and cull stuff. And often, like, you go crazy one day and then you get rid of it all, and then you go, man, I shouldn't have done that. But I suppose the big call that a lot of people do find difficult is, you mentioned there, the clothes. The wardrobe call is layered with all kinds of stuff for people, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, I have a whole chapter in my book about body image, because I think that's just something you need to talk about when you're talking about this. I've never had a client of any gender who didn't have a complicated relationship with their clothing collection, mainly some things to do with kind of guilt about money they'd spent, but mainly about body image. So it can really bring up a lot of stuff for people, and you have to go slow. What I would say is, we should really only have clothes in our everyday wardrobe that fit the body we have today now. If you have stuff in there that's two sizes too small and it's staring at you every time you open your drawer or your wardrobe, that's just going to make you feel awful. You know, put them to the side. I'm not saying get rid of things that don't fit you. You know, people's weight fluctuates and there's so many complicated reasons for that. But, you know, do yourself the kindness of only having clothes that make you feel good and fit you in your everyday wardrobe. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so, I could talk forever about wardrobes, you know, and, you know, the master's I did that these ideas in the book are based on was about ethical fashion. So, you know, we could talk about that and the ethics of our throwaway clothes, but perhaps that's a whole extra discussion.
That's another day's conversation, yeah. I think. There is one little interesting tip you gave that I wanted to ask you about, which is that, you know, there's clothes, you go back and you think, okay, I haven't worn that since the last time I called, like, but it's still there and I feel I will wear it. But you're saying wear it there and then.
Yeah, well, put it, yeah, do what's called a body scan, you know, put it on your body, see how it actually feels. You know, clothes, you can't disconnect clothes from bodies. You need to see how it feels on your body. You know, can you wear it comfortably? Can you walk around in it? And if, you know, I call items like this that you can't make decisions on sticky items. Those are items that don't have a clear cut yes or no, I'll get rid of it, I'll keep it, that kind of thing. And these sometimes take years to get rid of. Another tip I like is to put a date on, you know, a storage box of clothes that you haven't worn in ages. And the next year when you do your clear out, you'll see the date and you might think, okay, these have been here a whole year. It'll just kind of reinforce, like, maybe it might loosen the attachment you have to it in your mind. But it really is hard to get rid of things. You know, we have so many cultural practices for acquiring things, you know, shopping as a leisure activity, gift buying, all these kind of things. But there's no giving stuff away feels unnatural. I think this is particularly interesting in Ireland. You know, we're traditionally a very poor country and thrift, you know, is in our bones.
Yeah.
You know, I talk about my Cork grandmother, who one of her phrases was willful waste makes woeful want. And I think, yeah, it can just feel like anathema to get rid of stuff. But that very sensible attitude is clashing with, you know, the cheap stuff, the middle aisle and Aldi and Lidl, all the stuff that we get into the house. So what I'm just saying is it's very complicated. If you're overwhelmed, you are not alone. So many clients I have are like, I bet I'm the worst you've seen. They never are. And this stuff is hard for all of us, I promise.
Okay. Yeah. And just before you go, we talked about the clothing call. Just another little good tip you give, which is that we should be calling everything all the time. Like you say something about mugs and glassware, and I think about plates, like, and the fact that they're it's like, I don't know, would you call it a palimpsest, layers of plates from different eras?
Like a plate lasagna.
Yes, exactly. So we need to steel ourselves and do a regular call there as well.
Well, I don't love the idea of a regular call. You know, we need to get out of these clutter cycles where, you know, we're dumping stuff on the poor charity shops that are already overwhelmed.
To make room to bring in more cheap crap.
Yeah, like think of the kind of, you know, monetary madness of that. Why are we giving stuff away to spend money on new stuff? Like, it's bananas to me. That's why I'm saying, you know, you will only enhance your life by breaking that clutter cycle. Certainly, I mean, the stuff that builds up in the kitchens, but again, a lot of that stuff is quote unquote useful, and that's really hard to get rid of, even if we ourselves are not using it.
Yeah,
you know, it's really, really hard. Like, there's all sorts of different guilt layers to the sticky items. Usefulness is one. Guilt about money is a huge one. And what I say to that is the money is not coming back to you. You know, you sitting there looking at the juicer that you never use, that you spent 150 quid on.
Sunk cost, as the accountants say.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Listen, Emma, that's a challenge to all of us there. I think a fundamental challenge to how we live our lives. And the book is Stuff Happens, Manage Your Clutter, Clear Your Head and Discover What's Really Important. And it's published by Sandy Cove. Emma Gleeson, thank you very much.